Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. Angelo Castillo is a Cuban-born American raised in New York City, and he currently serves as a commissioner in his hometown of Pembroke Pines, Florida. Angelo has also served as an executive in the Koch, Dinkins, Giuliani, Cuomo, and Pataki administrations in New York, but he's recently visited Havana, Cuba, making his first trip back to the island of his birth, and I've asked him to come on the show and discuss what he saw from a personal perspective, but also as a professional city executive. Hey, Angelo, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve, for having me on your show.
So you went to Cuba. That must have been pretty exciting for you. Tell us about what you found there in terms of the topography of the country and the people of the country.
Well, I can tell you that I had a visit there for a week in March. It was a family visit. It was my first time back to Cuba since we left there in 1962. I have numerous cousins, an uncle, an aunt, who I had never met and who I always wanted to meet. And I had the opportunity to go back there legally using a visa that the Cuban government provided, and it was an amazing trip. Cuba is a spectacular place. It lived up to every inch of the descriptions that my parents, now deceased.
In what way?
Throughout my life, told me about.
What were those descriptions?
Well, it's a very welcoming place. Havana, in particular, is a very large and busy city. Great people, great food, music everywhere, just incredibly friendly, but it's a time capsule of a city that goes back to actually the 1500s. And it's a time capsule of a city sort of frozen in many respects. Yeah. They have not been able to do a great deal of building there, of reconstruction. Most of what they do is try to preserve as best they can with very little raw material what was there. A number of the buildings there are crumbling, and that's so unfortunate because much of their architecture is really, really noteworthy.
Well, you know, these are the images that we get over here for those of us who haven't traveled over there. You know, the old vintage cars, the old Spanish-style buildings, I guess downtown buildings. And basically, that's still the case, right?
Absolutely still the case, and they're struggling hard to do it. What the Cubans on the island can do with just a wire hanger is just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. One guy was telling me about his 49 Ford and how he couldn't find a muffler for it. And finally, his neighbor, who learned how to do welding from when the Russians were there and still had the equipment, told him, tell you what you do. Bring me 100 empty peach cans and your old muffler. And from that, the man made, it took him 6 months, but he made him a muffler. Now, this is the kind of thing that you see in Cuba all the time. And it's the way that they keep these old cars running and moving forward. And you see them everywhere in the city. It's really quite amazing.
So in this case, necessity is the mother of invention. Did you notice a lot of tourists when you visited?
It was absolutely packed with tourists. Just about every hotel was full. They have some new hotels that they're building using a lot of Spanish, and also I believe some French companies are going in there to create hotels. Varadero Beach, which is one of their most spectacular beaches near the city of Matanzas, very blue-collar area, is replete now with hotels. There were tourists everywhere and impossible to miss from every imaginable country in Europe and many, many South Americans as well. I saw many Americans. I was there during spring break, and so there were a lot of young college kids.
Obama was there when you were there too, right?
He was, and that's purely by coincidence.
Yeah. Why, he didn't follow you there?
No, we didn't call each other or say hello. I didn't stop by for coffee with Michelle.
The island operates on two currencies, right? So you have the local currency and then this currency for tourists. But I think from our discussions previously, you know, you've told me that there's this just huge black market and people really couldn't survive, couldn't pay their rent, couldn't buy food unless there was this black market. What did you see there?
There's no question about it. Everyone's got something on the side. And it's all completely illegal, but the government is showing uncharacteristic tolerance for it. Because they know that the subsistence that they get from the government job or from the coupons that they get, each of them, from the socialist government is not enough to get them by. So everyone does something on the side. And there is an enormous black market there that without which many of these families couldn't survive.
What would you say the older Cubans' attitude towards the government is versus the younger Cubans' attitude?
Well, I can tell you that it's decidedly different. Among the older Cubans there, there is a much more conservative point of view, sort of like here, in terms of holding the hard line of the Fidelista sort of socialist model. But when you talk to the young people, there is this amazing yearning to join the rest of the world. They have a great deal of respect for the world that they came up in. However, they know that there are many, many cracks in the shell of that ideology that they want to break through. They want to join the rest of the world. They feel very, very isolated. They think it's sort of unfair. Understandably, in a culture like that, in a society like that, many of these things go whispered or unsaid.
Sure.
However, I think that we're beginning to see the changes simply because there's greater interaction between them and the world. Their TV stations carry the videos and the music videos and stuff, so they see what what America and the rest of the world are like, and they want it.
Yeah, the great democratization through the media. What about access to technology? Do they have Wi-Fi? Do they have computers? Are they able to access social media in any way?
Well, increasingly people are getting phones and iPhones that have computer access. It's very expensive to have direct computer access, so very few of them have them. They do have telephone connections, you know, the old POTS connections that we used to have, you know, before cable service and the like. But many of them will travel to where the hotels are. The hotels have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And they sort of pay a friend who rather works at a hotel to allow them to be in the lobby or that kind of thing, and they pick up the Wi-Fi. That's also part of the black market. But through that contact, they are learning more and more about the rest of the world. They are participating, and a lot of them have Facebook pages.
Oh, okay.
And they are participating and having chats with people, family or friends that they're developing in other parts of the country and also in other parts of the world, including the United States.
You know, it's interesting, Angelo. We're seeing a lot of individuals signing onto our Facebook page and liking us from Havana, Cuba. And I really didn't understand how that could be. I thought, well, maybe they're saying their place of origin is, but no, they're actually there listening to our show. So that was surprising. You've just kind of confirmed that because I didn't realize that they had access to social media.
Absolutely. And they're very eager to learn and absorb as much as they can. So they put a great deal of effort into what limited internet time they have to learn about things that, frankly, have been foreclosed to them before. So we're discovering them, they're discovering us, and I think it's actually a very healthy thing. You know, I'm recalling how quickly the Soviet Union fell down and was replaced by a much more democratic and, dare I say, capitalistic society. And it wasn't really the threat of nuclear weapons that did that. It was rock and roll and Levi's and McDonald's.
Right.
And once they started seeing what we were like, I think that they had cause to consider, hey, I get it now. They're not really this evil empire.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really wish us ill. They just...
they just want to party.
Pretty much. They want to have a good time. They want to make money and they want to enjoy themselves. And they don't really have these negative, hateful feelings toward us that we've always thought that they had. So there is a rediscovery.
These societies, you mentioned the Soviet Union, you're talking about Cuba, and Venezuela comes to mind. These societies that are so entrenched in this, you know, socialistic system. And it seems to me that there's no amount of pain where finally the society says uncle and there's some kind of a massive change. I mean, we've seen what socialism has done to Venezuela. And, you know, from the news reports I see, you know, people really, really don't have enough food. You describe I don't want to say a similar situation in Cuba, but it's very, very difficult there. You know, it's a good question. We can't answer it here, of course, but what does it take for society to stand up and go, you know, no mas, you know? One final question here. You know, I mentioned that you're commissioner in Pembroke Pines, so you're used to looking at projects for infrastructure and seeing how things are run. From your perspective as a commissioner going into this new country and seeing the infrastructure the way it was, I mean, did anything pop into your mind as like, if they only did this, if they only did that?
Well, I think that if they had more money circulating, they'd be in better shape. The roads there are just horrible. These old cars, while they're running, is causing air pollution that's just nearly unbearable. You could look down the street just about anywhere in Havana and see this cloud of smoke from the cars and smog there. And it's just, it's depressing to see that. And yet, you'll come across a building that has somehow survived with its original beauty over the passage of time, and you'll just think to yourself, wow, this was different once.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there's so many other things that, I mean, from it's not just the infrastructure, and they don't have enough transport, and there's people hitchhiking on highways, and it's just, they can't get from one place to another. It's just so difficult for them. But they have this incredible perseverance, because it's, frankly, a tool that they've had to develop in order to cope with it. I think that as time goes on, and as they continue to evolve positively in the direction that we hope they will, that things will get better for them, and that in the fullness of time, and we should be in no hurry to do it, when they're ready, they can rejoin the world community in better shape. I think that all we need to do here in the United States is be patient. We have taken the steps that are necessary. They have some additional steps that they need to take. The Cuban government and the Cuban people should be respected to take those steps on their own schedule. We should just be patient.
Okay.
And this will, I believe that this is a fruit that will drop off the branches at the moment that it's ripe.
Angelo Castillo, commissioner of Pembroke Pines, Florida, a Cuban-born American who has recently made a trip back to his native country, his thoughts and ideas for the future. Angelo, thank you so much for joining us. And to hear the show and to hear this interview again, don't forget to join the conversation at onthemoneyradio.org. Visit our Facebook page at On the Money Radio. And also, when you come to our internet site, make sure that you sign up for our weekly update. Angelo, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you. And if you all want to visit me, find me at Commissioner Angelo Castillo on Facebook. It's a public page.
And you're running for re-election, right?
I'm running for re-election in 2018 and making plans to be our next mayor in 2020. So I'm a busy guy.
Okay, wish you best of luck. Thanks so much.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY-01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org. Se acabó la diversión, llegó el comandante y mandó.